Hi everyone, and welcome to Las Musas Podcast. My name's Aisha Perez Prado, and I'm the author of City Freak. Today I'm joined by four musas who are going to introduce themselves now. In this episode of Debut Diaries, the picture book edition, we'll be talking about author branding and marketing. How about if you all start introducing yourselves? Monica, can you start?
Sure. My name is Monica Mancias. I'm the author of Mariana and Her Familia, which debuted in October of last year. And I have two new picture books coming out this summer, The Worry Balloon, which is illustrated by Betty C. Tang and will be released by Roaring Brook Press, and How to Speak in Spanglish, which will be out in August, illustrated by Olivia de Castro and coming out with Penguin Workshop.
Wonderful. That sounds exciting. And how about you, Gabby?
Yeah, my name is Gabriella Alderman. I go by Gabby. My debut book is Paula's Patches. It's coming out July 11, 2023. And illustrated by Rocio Arreola, published by Free Spirit Publishing. So that's me.
Okay. Thanks, Gabby. And Judith, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm so happy to be here with you. I'm Judith Valdez, and I'm the author of An Ofrenda for Perro, which is coming up in the fall of 2023, and is illustrated by Carlos Velez.
Okay, thank you, Judith. And finally, Alyssa.
Hi, everyone. Alyssa here. My debut book is called Plátanos Are Love, and it comes out actually in a little over a month. So April 11th, it's illustrated by Mariah, and she did an amazing job. I've read some of your books already, so it's really exciting to be in this circle. It's like, oh, I know that book. It hasn't come out yet, but I got the privilege of reading the ARC. So I'm excited to chat with all of you.
Yeah, all of your books sound really fun, and I can't wait to read them. So my debut book just came out in January. So I had some I've had some mixed experiences with the coming out and the book launch, etc. So let's start talking about branding. Before I got into this Kidlit world, I didn't even know that was a thing. Like author branding, and I'm just, I'm not even sure how I feel about it yet. But for you guys, you are all debut or sophomore authors now. Do you think having an author brand is important? And if so, what would you want your author brand to be?
I have to say that I've never consciously thought about my author brand, and I haven't thought of myself or my books that way. But I think to some degree it's important. We all return to specific authors over and over again because we know their books, we know what their style is, we know what their messaging is. So I think in my case, I hope that it's something that is just developing organically. And I think it is. I mean, I think I have 7 books under contract at the moment, and I think that there is a definite theme that runs through them, sort of an attention to social justice issues and a consciousness about, you know, the messaging that I'm putting out to children and wanting to change the world in some positive way. So that it certainly would be what my hope would be that my brand would be.
Well, that sounds like a good brand. I'd like to hop on that brand too. How about anybody else? Do you have any ideas about what your brand is or what you'd want it to be?
So I'm not an expert by any means, but whenever I'm learning something new, I always go to experts and try to learn from them. And I'm actually really excited to be involved in a bunch of other groups where I'm in contact with people that's what they do. All they do is they talk about branding, they talk about marketing. And one book I will recommend for all of us is called Jefa in Training. And she talks about like being a creative entrepreneur. Ashley is the author, amazing book. And one thing that I learned from her book and listening to other podcasts and listening to other brand experts is whether you're conscious of it or not, you have a brand. Because basically, according to like Steve Jobs, your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. So whether you're conscious of having an author brand or not, when you're in spaces, the way that you show up in podcasts like this, the way that you show up in meetings, the way that you show up at events, the way you show up on your social media, people are going to develop an opinion about you. So when I learned that, I was like, oh, okay, so I have to be more cognizant of this. I have to be more conscious of this and really think about when I'm entering these spaces, when I'm participating in a podcast or a panel, or when I'm moderating one, what do I want people to feel, right? Like they might not always remember what I say. They might not always remember what I do, but how did I make them feel? And that to me is like your brand. So I guess for me, my brand, all like the common thread for all of my books is love. So when kids read my book, literally like it's in my title, Plátanos Are Love, right? That's my first book that comes out. And it's a love letter to my family and it's about food. And my second book that comes out, it's a love letter to the Bronx. It's called The Bronx Is My Home. So that is part of my brand. I want my brand to be rooted in love, but I also want it to be rooted in joy. And I want it to be like knowledgeable. I want to be associated as being someone that's knowledgeable when I'm in spaces so that people can be like, oh, we're doing this event. I want Alyssa to be there because she always has gems that she's dropping, right? So yeah, I think like for me, those three words are love, joyful, and knowledgeable. That's what I want my brand to be.
Oh man, you're making me think. And I'm like, yes, okay, if I had to choose a word, I think it would be equality. Equality is like the theme. I'm gonna take notes now.
Amazing.
Love that.
I'm jealous of both of your brands now. How about you, Gabby?
I agree with the jealousy. I feel like I shy away from having an author brand because I guess I'm worried that I am so brand new. And if I think of it, I would be limiting my creative space. And I know I need to, protect their creative space to find my own voice through my writing. But that being said, I have a similar experience with Monica, whereas I think I don't know how I sound, but my agent says, oh no, I can see your voice very clearly, which is great. And just the other day, a critique partner of mine said out of the blue, and this was an honor to hear. She said, I tend to give voice to that lonely child in the corner and empower them in a most natural way. I was like, that's so beautiful. And I do see that in my books, in Paula's Patches. She's the girl with the big hole in her pants and she's mortified and embarrassed. And I have another book that's coming out where it's a boy that is struggling with his Spanish because of his accent and the way it sounds. But I think still, I see what Alyssa's saying, and I love it because I do think that there could be you could be in a position where if others know you for something or say, oh, they impose labels or author brand on you, then it is freeing to have your voice. So you say it first before others are speaking about you, I guess. But I should be thinking about these things because I don't have my three words. I haven't thought of it. And I've been shying away from it because I see it a bit. I've seen it as limiting and I haven't had the time and space for that. I'm still in the journey, I guess. But But I love what Alyssa says. I'm definitely checking out this book. So thank you. Knowledgeable for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I sort of feel like you, Gabby. But yeah, I'm trying to listen and open my mind up to it, because I feel like people have tried to corner me into a brand or shove me into something that I'm not. And I find that really frustrating. So I've had a bit of a struggle with it. How about you, Judith?
Well, I'll agree with all of you, but I didn't think about it consciously, but when I'm listening and thinking, all of my books, the one announced and the unannounced, have something to do with who I am. And you know, I love food. I love cooking. I absolutely love my heritage. My mother is an indigenous woman. My father was an immigrant. So I write about those things, and I never thought about it. I just thought this is what I can write. And I guess I want, you know, growing up as an immigrant or living in a world where you are always a foreigner, like for one reason or another, I'm a Mexican American, but I had lived in the States very little, and I grew up in Mexico. And because of my job and my husband's job, we had lived in many countries, so we move around. So you kind of pick from different places, but there is something in you that remains, and that's the thing that I love, because my son sent me a message last week, and he said, "Mommy, there is going after the exams, we're gonna have a fun day at school. Can you make 200 churros?" And you know, and it's like the thing is, like, seeing that in my children made me so happy, because that means whoever I am is already in them. And I hope that children, you know, whoever reads our stories, will be so proud of who they are. And I guess that's my brand. Be that happy with your color, with your, yes, how you speak with an accent, you know, how you like churros instead of donuts. Be happy with who you are and proud.
As you were saying, that was the one word. If I was to distill yours to one word, I would say pride for sure. And because we were in a critique group together for some time, I've read many of your manuscripts, and definitely they exude pride. And I think that's important, because all of your stories are so different, you know, but they're that common thread definitely shines through. Another one that I'll share about you, I think magical. All of your stories have a hint of magic, and I love that about your books.
Well, I had to, you know, in credit to my father, he was a storyteller. He would sit with me and tell me stories. And my mom used to say, "He's only lying to you. He's making up the stories. They never happen." But, you know, and I think, you know, when he left, I miss him so much, but the stories are still in me. I keep thinking, oh, I remember the story about the cemetery, you know, and how scared I was. So I think, you know, it all depends on how you grew up and the experiences you carry. I mean, it's amazing that as we grow older, we treasure more who we were as children.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, I have struggled with this, because I feel like the stories that I've been able to sell are not the stories that are necessarily what I would want to be considered as my brand. If I had to, like, the stories that are most meaningful to me as an immigrant, a child of divorce, a person who struggled with a like duality of identity and belonging, those are my heart stories, and I haven't sold any of those. So it's hard for me when I feel sort of like I'm a little too dark for the market. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I have like a, my agent always says that she, all her clients are sparkly and happy and glittery people. And then there's Aisha, you know, like, because my stories often have like a, like my heart stories have like a sad, or there's some cruelty or pain in them, but mixed with humor. So it's kind of very Latin American, I think, in a way. And I am from Argentina, so I am Latin American. But I wonder if editors are not into that. You know, they want to see a different kind of Latina story. Maybe something that's more hopeful, or we've had struggles and we've overcome them. Or something like that, that's not really the way I want to write. So for me, that's been a bit of a challenge. And another huge challenge for me is marketing. My book just came out, and I really try to be like the positive, happy new author, you know, and posting on social media and making all those Canvas things and having a book launch and all of that stuff. And it was hard for me. It doesn't come naturally to me to self-promote. I don't enjoy it. And I find that when I expect too much, I get less than what I was hoping for, including from my own family and friends. So that's rough for me. How have you guys experienced marketing? How do you feel about self-promotion or marketing? Like, how can you make it feel good?
Well, I remember hearing from so many authors and seeing on social media so many authors who had already been through the debut process that there's very little that an author can do to move the needle. And I'm discovering that even though I'm only, you know, a few months past my debut, I'm definitely discovering that, you know, that yes, we can help in the promotion of our books, but unless our books are on the shelves of major retailers as debuts, there is very little other way. There are few ways that people are going to discover us, barring maybe getting a major award. But the average mom or dad or grandmother who's out there shopping for picture books isn't going to discover us unless they happen to walk into an independent bookstore. They're not going to find us at Target or Barnes & Noble or Walmart unless our publishers and the retailers are willing to put us there. So I have taken the approach of only doing the marketing that I enjoy and that I'm willing to do. So I'm not great. I've made like one TikTok. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I might do more, but that's not the way I want to spend the majority of my time. So I'm going to spend my time doing, you know, Twitter, I'm cool with. I don't mind making Canvas, but I'm going to spend the majority of my time writing and selling new books, because that's my job as an author. And I also think we have to remember, it's very easy to lose sight of the fact that this is a long game. And I think I've been experiencing kind of the post-pub blues for the last few months, trying to put my finger on exactly why. And I think it's because we have this expectation that the second, you know, you dream for so many years of the moment of becoming a published author, and that the moment you're through the door, it's supposed to be, everyone's supposed to know who you are, and everything's supposed to go well, and your life's supposed to be completely transformed. And it doesn't happen that way. Your career takes years to build. You have to put out more books and to discover what your brand is and to discover what marketing works and what marketing doesn't work. So my advice from my very limited experience would be to just focus on what you enjoy doing. And there are authors who don't like marketing and they don't like traveling, and they've still been successful because their books were in the stores. So just focus on the writing and what you love to do. And that would be my advice.
I love
that's really good advice. What about you, Alyssa? Do you have something to add?
That's super good advice. I was feeling really frustrated and overwhelmed with the whole process, and I wasn't getting a lot of support. So I took many steps back and I started asking other like author friends, like, what did you do and what worked for you? Again, I'm a researcher. That's what I do really well. And they were like, the main thing that you can do is just try to get as many, like the things that they recommended is like reviews are really helpful and lean into your strengths, right? So very similar to what you said, Monica, like do the things that you enjoy. I have a background in event planning. So for me, I've leaned into reaching out to independent bookstores and organizing like my book launch events, because that's something that I genuinely enjoy. And it's something that I've done for 15 years. And it's something that I've done really well. So I'm like, okay, I don't have control over what my publisher is doing or isn't doing, but I can control the appearances where I show up, right? And so I'm reaching out to Black and Brown owned independent bookstores like Café con Libros and Duende District, and like organizing events with them. And then the other thing is reviews. That's one area where I think there's a lot of reciprocity that can be done. It's like you have a book, you can review someone else's book, and then they read your book and they review your book, you know? So for me, like the two main things is that I leaned into my community, right? So I lean into my community and I show up for them by like reviewing their books and vice versa. And then the other way that I lean in is by leaning in on my strength, which is the event planning aspect. That's actually like oddly therapeutic for me. So it's just like, this is what I've done for 15 years. So now I get to do it for myself. And it's a little weird, but instead of like focusing on like the event for myself, it's like, I'm promoting these independent bookstores. I'm not promoting Amazon. I'm not promoting Barnes and Nobles, right? Like I get to promote these like amazing independent bookstores, like the Lit Bar, which is like the only independent bookstore in the Bronx. And I get to geek out about these like bad ass, like, sorry if I'm not allowed to curse, but like these amazing independent bookstore owners that are like changing the game. And so it comes really naturally to me to like talk them up and be like, oh my God, like, their like curated book list is amazing. And so it becomes more natural instead of feeling weird that I'm like promoting myself. So that would be my suggestion.
That's amazing. I needed you here in Miami to promote me because I did a terrible job.
I got you. I will send you a later. We will talk about it. I got yes. you. I got you.
It takes many failures to have a success, I think. How about Judith? Have you had any marketing tips or advice? I think you're muted.
I was going to say that I have a background in marketing. Actually, I met my husband in the U.S. Department of Commerce. I used to help companies. I was so proud. I'm still very proud. Small companies export. And I made lots of small companies in the San Diego area where we lived gain experience in exporting to Mexico and to Latin America. I know I'm still friends with many of them because, you know, we went through an economic crisis, and when the market in the United States was dying, they were able to find buyers outside the United States. So I think I'm very good at marketing because that's what I did when I was a kid. I helped my dad, you know, in his business. So I haven't done anything. The editor told me, do not worry about it. Really, you can do very little. But I will be in Mexico City. We will be living in Mexico City for the launching of my book, which is, it celebrates the Mexican Day of the Dead. So I'm planning already events at the Zócalo, you know, with the Palacio de Bellas Artes, you know, with a huge background, with the parade for the Day of the Dead. And also, I mean, a lot of people in Mexico speak English. So launching, like Alyssa, a series of events in the libraries and this in the schools, and I feel very comfortable because I mean, it's not about me, you know, it's about the story and about your children. So I think I will be okay. I'm not very active on social media, only because I'm very busy. I have 3 stories to publish, so I feel like all the time I'm running out of time. And when I have illustration, I got my first contract for to be an illustrator. So, it takes a lot of time, and I want to do a good job so they contract me again. And so it's I'm very busy, so I'm very strategic. I said 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, and I trust that everything will fall in place when the moment comes.
So you're going to teach a webinar, right, Judith? You're going to, Judith, like you're going to teach us all the secrets of marketing in the future?
Well, I did all my background. I worked for NATO in Brussels. So even before, all my background was in the U.S. Department of Commerce. And that's what you do. You sell. You know, I used to sit in front of very wealthy people and I would tell them, you know, if you can convince me that your product is good, I will be able to sell it. So they will, I know what they will say, you know, and I know what not to say. So I think I'm prepared. They were like 15 years too doing that.
Well, that's great. It sounds like you're leaning into your strengths, like Alisa is leaning into hers. What about you, Gabby?
I need to learn from Judith and Alisa. Well, you know, it's funny. I feel I'm much more comfortable writing than speaking the words. I'm like, I'm the type of person that's like, I promise I sound better in my writing. So I've given marketing a lot of thought, but it's because I'm not familiar with it. And I want, it's this balance between everything seems stressful, but I want to give my book the biggest chance. And I know that there's so little we can do, but I want to do a little, at least feel like, okay, check, I did it and it's done. And then I have no regrets kind of thing. So I've given a lot of time to the limited, you know, limited budget, limited time, limited energy. And I think marketing and promotion is a space where whatever I do, I know is going to require a lot of energy because I don't know if I have many skills on it. Like the things that make me excited is like swag. And that's not a, I don't think that's like a thing that I should do because I've got to cut the budget. So how I'm getting around it, I think how I'm getting around it is I have been trying to learn a lot with webinars, marketing boot camps, that sort of thing about what's worked for other people, making a list of possibilities and then just taking from there what I can actually do. So I don't spend all my time, all of my energy. And then I'm creating kind of like a to-do list. Okay, February, I'm going to do this. So right now, what I just did recently, I made a list of blogs and book influencers, like bookstagrammers and festivals that I could reach out to. And a lot of them I can't because I don't have my advanced reader copy yet. It should come out in the next few weeks, but I have my list and I said, okay, I'm comfortable with 5 blogs, 5 book influencers. I didn't know this, that for most book festivals to apply, your book has to be written within the last year. So that's has a deadline, I guess, a time limit. So I have my list and then I'm just creating a to-do list of little things. So I know when I'm going to do it at one time. And it's not that much, but.
I feel like you're all way ahead of me, which is unfair because you're all younger than me. So I feel dumb. But one thing is I didn't even know that, well, it's not that I didn't know, but I feel embarrassed to reach out to bloggers. And I know some of them personally, but I just, it's embarrassing to me to ask them, you know, I feel embarrassed. And then book festivals, I didn't even know that. You just told me something new. I didn't know that I could reach out, or except for the Las Musas Latinx Book Festival, I don't know of another book festival. So now I'm going to have to ask you to share that information with me. And I'm learning a lot from all of you guys.
There's actually in the Las Musas like document where we have all of our member information, one of the tabs is festivals.
Oh, and there's so much information there that I haven't read it all. Have you guys read all the information?
It's that's a
why
lot.
You're the researcher.
I'm the researcher, yeah. Though. So
that's why you're knowledgeable. I'm only a lowly professor. I don't know. I don't read.
Aisha, that's why my February to-do list was to write the list, because yes. There's so much information and I don't want to go to book fest. I don't have the budget to go to book festivals all over the country. So I'm trying to get the locals, but that also fit with the time. And then a lot of them are the same date. So it takes a while, like you say, just to condense the overwhelming amount. First, to know what you want, to know what you're looking for. Like the book festival thing, I just learned that too. Then to narrow down all the information to what you can do and what's pertinent. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. And at least for me, maybe it's part of my embarrassment or the way I present, but the things I've tried to do, they're like, oh no, you can't do that. Like, you know how they say you should ask your library to order the book or whatever. I went and I'm like, and they're like, oh no, you can't do that. You have to call some other corporate number. And I'm like, okay. Sorry for asking.
There's a process sometimes. Like I live in Philadelphia and it's a big city and you can't just physically go to a branch and request it. There is a form you have to fill out. But part of it is seeing rejection as redirection, right? So even if they said, no, you can't do that, it's not that you can't, it's just that's not the process. So find out what the process is and then do that.
Right. And
it's frustrating because every process is different. Yeah,
exactly. They tell me you can't and I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just go have a glass of wine and I'm done thinking about it, you know, instead of no, you know, follow up. Try another route. That's part of my natural pessimism. But how about you, Monica? And Monica, with all the contracts, she knows everything. Tell us, share with us, share your secrets with us.
I know nothing. I mean, that's not true. I think you only know as much as you know at your particular stage in the game. And I'm still constantly learning. I didn't know the process for book festivals until some other Musas invited me to participate in an NCTE panel with them. And the habit that I've gotten into is just every single time I'm on social media and I see friends, you know, or fellow authors posting pictures at a book festival, I add it to my list. And last year, as I was getting ready to debut and I got on my marketing call with my editor, I was very clear with them about the book festivals and events that I knew I wanted to participate in, and just kind of put the bug in their ear. If you guys are going to have a booth at the Los Angeles Times Book Festival next year, I would really love to be present and to sign books. And just, you know, I think one of the things is a debut. You're very, at least I was very reluctant to ask questions. I was very reluctant to ask for anything. And now on the other side of that, working with other publishers, I'm a lot more, first of all, I'm a lot more prepared with what questions I should ask. I didn't even know. And so now the questions that I had sitting down with marketing meetings for the books that are coming out this year, I had a lot more questions, I knew what to ask, and I'm way less hesitant to reach out now and say, can I have this? Do you know what's going on here? Because it's in everybody's best interest if your book is selling. It's in everybody's best interest, and editors are busy, and the sales and marketing team are busy. So of course you don't want to be obnoxious or rude, but it's okay. We're in partnership, right? So I think it's completely fine.
Can you share some of those questions that you would think would be great for all of us to ask if we get to have marketing meetings?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I don't have my list in front of me, but let me just think off the top of my head. I definitely asked about sell-in dates, like when they would know when each major retailer was, whether or not they would be stocking my books in stores. I wanted to know, you can ask what the print distribution is going to be, like what the initial, you know, buy-in is going to be. I think I also asked about specific event, you know, with which events they were planning on. And a lot of these things they don't necessarily have answers for on the marketing call, but they can follow up. They can ask the appropriate teams, like the school and library team or the sales and marketing team, and they can get back to you. I asked about what media outlets they would be reaching out to on my behalf, and pitching potential op-eds or essays, what trade reviews they would be sending my books to, what awards they would be submitting to. And I think for the most part, they submit to every award that you're eligible for. But I think it's still important that we ask those questions. I'm sure there are many others that I'm not thinking of right now.
And I do want to add to that, Monica, thank you so much for sharing that. You have to be mentally prepared for another redirection, because I came in guns blazing asking all these questions, and the answer that I received is that's proprietary information and we can't share that with you. Instead, I had to create my own list and then ask them, hey, of these that are on this list, are you submitting? And then they were like, yes. So they don't share their awards list. They don't share like which list they send out your stuff to. They didn't share their media list. Instead, I had to send my media list of like, I want to be on Telemundo. I want to be in the Northeast Times. I want to be here if possible. So again, I think so much of publishing teaches you to be strong, because you're, even when you finally work up the agency and you work up the courage to ask the question, sin vergüenza, right? Without feeling like, oh, I'm going to be annoying and they're going to hate me because I'm asking all these questions. Like finally, when you work up the courage, you have to be mentally prepared to get an answer that you don't like, or an answer that like isn't helpful. So that's why leaning into your community is so important. That's why I'm so grateful to Las Musas. That's why I'm so grateful to the other critique groups that I'm in, because I can go to them and be like, what was your experience like? Interesting. Good to know. And then you decide, like, do you want to work with this publisher again? Like, real talk, you know? So just, again, don't think of it as rejection. Think of it as a redirection. Like, because there's a lot of that. You're going to have to pivot. You're going to have to just constantly like figure out what your outlet is. I just started like painting again, not because I'm good at it, but just because it feels nice, you know, because I'm like, I can't keep drinking, right? Like, so yes, finding those positive outlets when you don't get the answers that you're expecting.
Yeah, I will just say really quickly that you also have to be prepared for those pivots to happen at every stage in the game, because I've had publishers come with these gorgeous, thrilling marketing plans that we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And you go, oh my God, this is amazing. And, you know, I've had friends who were just devastated when none of that stuff happened. And it may be that some of it happened behind the scenes, or that they tried to do those things and it just didn't happen. It may be that that they had, that the book somehow didn't live up to the potential that they thought it would. They were really excited at the outset, but then maybe booksellers didn't respond the way they wanted, or, you know, the reviews they were getting weren't what they thought. Conversely, they can change their minds. If you get 3-starred reviews, I was told that bumps you up to a whole new marketing level. All of a sudden, they're going to put a lot more marketing attention on you. So things can change at all times. And I agree with you, Alisa, that I have always been the kind of person that I set my expectations unrealistically high. I'm like, I'm going to live in the castle in the sky and no one's going to stop me. And you have to be prepared for that not to happen without being pessimistic. Be hopeful. But when it doesn't happen, don't say, well, that's it. My dreams are over. You just find the next open door. You go, okay, how am I going to move forward with what I know now?
Yeah, that's interesting. That, I mean, I think both of you are giving like a lot of good advice in terms of redirection, being hopeful. I'm the opposite. I think my expectations are always low, low, low. Like, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to work out. It's going to be a disaster. You know, that's sort of the way I think. But let's talk about book launches, because how many of you have already had your book launch for the book that we're talking about right now in this podcast? So Monica, you've had it. And Gabby, have you had yours yet?
No, not yet.
Mm-mm. But you're planning one?
Planning, yeah.
Okay. Alisa?
Planning.
But you've already had one for Plátanos?
No.
Oh, you haven't had one for Plátanos.
Yeah, so Plátanos comes out April 11th.
Okay. And how about Judit?
No, I don't have anything on that yet. I know it's going to be in the fall of this year, but no exact date yet.
Okay. So let me share a little bit about my book launch. I have written a few books before this, but they're academic books, right? They're not picture books. They're not for children. So that was a completely different thing. I didn't worry about marketing. I didn't worry about book launches, none of that. So with this book that just came out, City Feet, which I'm also the illustrator for, I am in critique groups with people, some of whom have been published, you know, quite a bit and have had these major event book launches. And I've gone to all their book launches and I thought, oh, well, now it's my turn to have a book launch. So I live in Miami, and there's not that many independent bookstores in Miami. There's very few independent bookstores that are not religious bookstores or that carry children's books. And so I went to the most well-known, we will not mention it, bookstore in Miami that's not a chain. And I asked them like 3 months before I started emailing, and we went back and forth. Oh, we'll let you know. We're having a meeting. We'll let you know. Right now we're busy with the festival, then we'll let you know. You know, there was a lot of stalling until like just a few weeks before my book was coming out, and I finally got them on the phone. And the same person I was emailing with acted like they'd never heard of me. They had no idea who I was. And they're like, no, we don't do children's book launches because people don't show up. First of all, I've been to book launches there for children's books. Secondly, I was like, what? Why didn't you tell me that 3 months ago when I started emailing? You could have said no, you know, and then I would have looked for another option. So at that point, I had to scramble, and I had my typical meltdown and temper tantrum. And my husband, who is the nicest person in the world, and I don't deserve him, desperately looked for another bookstore, found one, which is super cute bookstore in the middle of absolute nowhere, Miami, very far. But they said, yes, I went, whatever. I did my book launch there. And it was a little bit of a disaster. And I think it was because maybe I set my expectations too high. I expected everyone who I went to their book launches to come to my book launch. And I especially expected the people with kids that I asked specifically to come with their kids to come. And Unfortunately, they didn't. And I got a lot of messages that same day saying, where is it again? Or I'll see, I'm trying to make it. And I was, you know, getting so anxious. And I did it. And there was people there, all of whom were forced there by me, like every single person. I think there was one person there who just happened to be in the bookstore. And every other person was either related to me, or I have some kind of power over that I forced them to be there. And, you know, I did it, and I did the whole chanting because my book is told in rhyme. And so I have a snap clap pattern, and I had an art activity in the bookstore, like, oh, we don't want the kids to use crayons here. So I was like, okay. And I left really, really disappointed. And everybody told me, oh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And I cried so much that night because I felt like a big failure. And they were like, why are you sad? Like, it was great. And I was like, no, it wasn't what I wanted it to be. And I don't know. I still feel bad about it because I feel like I should be happy with what I had and appreciative and grateful. And I'm not, I'm not. So I feel guilty. And I think I never want to do another book launch again. Also, every single person who came complained about the distance, the drive and parking, everybody. So, you know, that's just, that's a bummer. How did yours go, Monique? I hope yours went better than mine.
Okay, well, before I talk about mine, let me just say I'm really, really so sorry that you had that experience, and you are not the first or last author to have that experience. You guys probably saw on Twitter a few weeks back, there was an author who was devastated because nobody showed up to her book launch, and then before you knew it, she was on CNN. And everybody was buying her book, right? We don't all get that lucky, but a lot of us don't talk about that. We, you know, my book launch went really well, but the following week I had a couple of other book signings, and one was like an hour and a half drive south of my community. So I had no power to invite anybody. The bookstore was this amazing, lovely bookstore. I absolutely love them. They're very supportive of marginalized authors. They have drag queen story time every weekend. The owner is Latina. She's just amazing. And she had me and Isabel Quintero and, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the, Evan Turk was the third author. And she had us all come out. And I thought, you know, their story times are usually packed. No, not a single child showed up, not a one. And you've got three authors there sitting there going, okay. So, you know, we made the best of it. And we pulled the adults in the store over and they listened to our books. And I actually sold like 7 copies of the book to them. And, you know, we made the best of it. But the point is that it's not a personal failing. It just happens, you know, and you never know why. It could have been, you know, the day we had that book event, it was raining. Maybe it was too far of a drive. Who knows? For my book launch, I had no expectations. This is one of those times where I went in going, I don't know what to expect. I don't know if people are going to show up, nothing. But I also have a school age child, and I'm a piano teacher. I teach to children and I volunteer at my daughter's school. So I have kind of a built-in community here. And we don't have any independent bookstores in the suburb of Los Angeles that I'm in. We only have a Barnes and Noble. So that had to go through the corporate office. My publisher had to set that up. So fortunately, I wasn't involved in the actual, you know, discussion of scheduling the event. So I had some faith that my publisher would be able to get it done. It went better than I anticipated. It was amazing. I mean, we had, I think, 50 people in the room. They had, we sold out of copies. I had to sell some of my author copies. It was like amazing. However, like I said, the following week, I had 2 bookstore events at independent booksellers that were not in my immediate vicinity, where, like you're saying, they had to drive. And I already knew my people were not going to show up to that. So at one event, there was nobody. I had to go around and just kind of say, hey, you're a kid, come here. You know? And at the other one, there wasn't a child in the store. So I want you to just kind of like hug yourself and know that it's not your fault, and that that really sucks that it was your debut book launch event, but it's not going to be your last event. And there are going to be events in your future that will surprise you and blow you away. The very first reading I did of my book pre-launch day was for a book festival that was pulled together very last minute. And it was on a university campus. And I was the first reader of the day. I had no idea what to expect. There was one tiny child who was very uninterested. I felt ridiculous trying to read to this little girl. And, you know, she eventually got up and left. So it happens. It's not a personal reflection on you at all, or your book.
And Aisha, I went to your virtual book launch and I loved it. So at least it was, for anyone listening, City Feet is so much fun. And listening to you read it, it was such a treat. It was, I think my daughter had a play date that day. Because it was Saturday morning, I think. Or was it Sunday morning?
I don't know, but it was definitely a morning.
It was the morning. It was a weekend and morning. So I'm here with my headphones and this is so good. So I call them and they're 11, but I know this is going to be just such a treat. Like, come here. So I put you on, you know, I take my headphones off and they loved it. So you had two extra 11-year-olds there. And
And you know, I think that my virtual book launch did go well. I felt good about it. And I think because of that feeling, I thought, oh, the in-person one will be even better, you know? And then I was like, crash and burn. And I feel embarrassed about it because I don't know. I just feel kind of embarrassed, which maybe I have a problem with feeling embarrassed. Now that I'm thinking of it, like I'm feeling embarrassed about a lot of things, apparently. I don't want to self-promote. I don't want to ask people if I could be on their blog. So maybe that's part of being an author, you know, like being more bold. It's funny because my characters are always like very bold. Nobody's shy. They're like very like powerful and like, and but myself, when I'm, maybe it's because I'm talking about myself, I feel weird about it. I'd rather talk about somebody else, you know, than me. But
and with your book launch, I get it. When I say I'm in the planning stages, it means I'm thinking about it. So I don't have anything planned out. I think Alisa does. I know she does. So I'd love to hear about her, but I've definitely thought about it and I love listening to other authors and their experiences, but I have heard so like similar to your experience. I've heard this so often that first of all, as a debut author, even listening to other authors' experience, I'm glad that Monica said that her successful book launch was 50 people, because that was a question I had. I said, what is successful? I don't know. What's the number? But 50 definitely sounds amazing. But because of stories like that, I have come to think of it. In my mind, I brainwashed myself and I said, look, there's a lot of independent bookstores in my area. I live in the Washington, D.C. area, so I'm very fortunate. And we'll see which one I get. But in my mind, I have brainwashed myself to think I'm going to be in a bookstore holding my book and I'm going to make sure. And I don't know, maybe they'll say that this is not allowed. But in my mind, there's going to be coffee and cake. And if there's coffee and cake, I'll be happy. So hopefully they'll allow me to do that and I'll be happy and we'll see. I'll let you know, Aisha, if at the end it's, you know, because even when you say that, you think in the back of your head, like, oh, did people enjoy themselves? And I get what you're saying about, maybe it's not embarrassment, but you're asking people, like you said, you're asking people to share this with you. But if you feel they're coming just because they owe it to you, then you think, well, should I have even done this? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Should I send a thank you card? Like, this is supposed to be a fun thing that you're sharing. So I get it. I have a lot of these thoughts running through my head, but cake and coffee. Hopefully they'll allow me to do that.
I want to just throw in a couple words of advice if I can. I'll make it short. But I think one, for your event and Aisha, for your next event, you can't control, just like in publishing, you can't control the outcome a lot of the times. You can't control who's going to show up and who isn't. But you can control what you do afterwards. Plan to go next door to the pub or whatever it is with your family or your friends, whoever it is, for the celebration that you want. That would be one piece of advice. The second piece of advice I would say is, whenever you start thinking, getting embarrassed or being hard on yourself as an author and thinking, I have to tell myself all the time, comparison is the thief of joy, right? Because I compare myself to others and they're all doing this and they're all doing that and I'm not doing it right. I have to sometimes remind myself, if there's only even one child who read my book and it somehow changed them or will change them in the future, then I've done my job. So think of those people that came out, even if they didn't want to, their child is reading your book now. And that's, whether they know it or not, is important to those children. So even that one kid that shows up, don't ever be embarrassed, because you are doing something important as an author.
Yeah, good advice. Good advice. And now, Alyssa, we need to hear your super special planning superpower advice for all of us.
That's super good advice. And you actually took the words right out of my mouth. Even if one person shows up, that's a success. There was another, the Authors Guild, they are put together a marketing boot camp series. And one thing that really resonated with me is that one of the authors said that they had an event, they were super excited for it, and no one showed up. And that happens. But you know what they did instead? They took a selfie, they were in the bookstore, they did a really nice job of the signage. No one needs to know that no one showed up. You know what I mean? Obviously in circles like this, you can share that because it's safe, it's a safe space, and it's good to know that, you know, you're not the only one that had an event where no one showed up. But what you actually post on social, that's up to you, right? Going back to kind of that brand, at the end of the day, someone believed in your book and they allowed you to host an event there. If 100 people showed up or if nobody showed up, that's up to you to disclose or not to disclose. So always the way that I see it, every opportunity is a marketing opportunity. Use it or don't, but they don't need to know, right? So that's another piece of advice building on what Monica said. So I'm actually really excited for my book tour, because I've been, I've always been very small businesses, that's my whole jam. So it's really exciting. Shout out to Duende District, shout out to Café con Libros, shout out to Julia de Burgos, shout out to Bird in Hand, shout out to the Bronx's Reading. So my thing is I organize a book tour for myself, and my goal is for every event that I go to, whether one person shows up or nobody shows up or 100 people show up, I'm going to these bookstores that I've been a customer of for years. So regardless of who shows up, I'm treating myself going to my bookstore that I love, and that is a place that brings me joy, and hopefully other people will show up too and share in my joy with me. But if they don't, I was gonna be there anyways. So if they're there, bet. If they're not, está bien, it's fine. And most of the places that I live in Philadelphia, but I have a huge community in New York, I have people in DC. So I'm also using this, yes, I'm also using this as an opportunity to catch up with some friends that I haven't seen, because now that I'm a mom, I can't just like go and see them all the time. So all of the bookstores that aren't like necessarily like my indie, I have friends in that area. So it's like, I'm going to go, and this is like my travel. So I am everywhere that I travel where I'm going to see a friend, right? Hopefully an independent bookstore is nearby. I'm going to hit them up, maybe do an event with them. Maybe they don't have the capacity to do an event, but maybe they'll let me sign their books. So as someone who enjoys traveling, as someone who enjoys being in community with other people, that's how I'm viewing it. I'm viewing this as an opportunity to go support independent bookstores. I'm viewing this as an opportunity to go see my friends that I don't see as often as I like anymore. And I'm just using it as an opportunity to go and like have fun. Even if I'm having fun by myself, I'm that person that dances by herself at a party. Right? Yo soy esa persona. Like, no one's dancing. I will dance by myself. So that's what's going to be happening. Y'all are going to see me dancing, even if I'm dancing by myself. Hopefully I'm not dancing by myself. Pero no hay vergüenza ahí.
That's awesome. I think that's great that you have built up that community, that you already have a relationship with those stores. I think that's something I'm really missing and I would love to have as well. Okay. I think that, We've talked a lot about marketing and branding, and you guys have given us some great advice. I know I'm learning a lot from you. And any last words or last thoughts? I shouldn't say last words. It sounds so like final, but any special golden nuggets of wisdom about branding, marketing, or just writing in general that you all want to share with the audience? How about you, Judith? Any beautiful last words of wisdom?
I would say, you know, this career has so many ups and downs. You know, you think once you have an agent, you're happy, but then you go on submissions and then, you know, and every time it's up and down, up and down. We can't stay on the ups all the time because we wouldn't get better. So we had to have downs, and usually we learn a lot more when we are on the lows. So I think it's very important that we take the time to enjoy, to celebrate our achievements. And, you know, I often like my husband, you know, because I do have an isolated community. You know, I don't speak Thai well, so it's really hard for me to, I can communicate, but not don't speak it well. So it's hard. I have a very small community. So I have to hold on to my successes. My husband recorded me when I gave him the news that I got an offer to be an agent like 2 years ago. And then whenever I'm down, he plays the video for me. You know, when my book sold, he recorded me. And, you know, so he reminds me that there have been moments that I have been happy and excited and that I need to remember that. And I think, you know, it's so easy to compare ourselves to other people, and everybody has a different journey. You know, had I gotten my agent, the first personal query, I wouldn't be who I am. So even had I sold my book, you know, super fast without any changes, I would have not grown. So every stage has its own joys, and we need to celebrate because we are here for the long run. And, you know, if we are going to be going low and then stay there, you know, it will take us longer to bounce back.
Amazing. Thank you. How about you, Monica? Last piece of advice?
I mean, I think Judith's advice was, I think your advice was amazing and spot on. And I would say, yeah, the same. I just don't ever give up. You know, that's you don't fail until the day you give up. So if something doesn't work out, there's a reason, and find that open door and just keep on going. Try the next thing.
Amazing. Gabby?
Yeah, I would say that, well, if you can't find a husband as sweet as Judith's, I think one of the things is everything does take forever in this industry, and there's a lot of ups and downs. And there's a lot of things we take very personally. But one of the things that I love, especially having done other jobs, and I also I'm a Spanish translator as well for commercial things. And I've done other jobs in my life. And one of the things that I know about the Kitlit community, or at least the picture book writing community, is that it's these writers and authors are amongst the nicest, most caring people I've ever met. And I have to remind myself sometimes that it's an honor to just have a place among the cheerleaders, the dreamers, and those that know to celebrate every little win, because I think in this industry more than others, or maybe just creative industries in general, it really is that, you know, the journey is the destination. And if it, actually, if I had known that the community was so welcoming and so much ups and downs, I would have tried to get into the, you know, tried to give myself that permission to start into publishing and putting myself out there and my work out there earlier, before trying to be more prepared and more perfect in my writing. So that's what I would say.
Amazing. And Alisa, you want to close us out with your wisdom, with your knowledge?
Sure.
And love.
I think the number one thing is remember your why. Why are you doing this? For me, there's days that are great. And on those great days, I keep track of them. I have this app where like I write my blessings. So like I write them all down. And then when a day that I'm like not feeling so great, I like, it has like this like randomized feature. And so I'm able to like read awesome things that happen. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, that happened. But the main thing is like, remember your why. And whenever it's going to be hard, because it's like Judith said, like it's ups and downs. I write for 7-year-old Alyssa. That's what I write for. And obviously we have those lofty goals that we want every child to read our book, like duh. And there's nothing wrong with wanting that, but ultimately, like, why did you write this book? For me, I'm writing the books that were missing in the narrative. I'm writing the books that I didn't see on shelves. And I'm just so happy that I get to do that in, like you said, Gabby, like in such a beautiful and accepting community. I'm, as a Black Latina, I'm often the only person that looks like me in spaces. And I've always had to mute myself. I've always had to code switch and be more quiet. And this is actually one of the first times in my entire life where I feel like I can show up in spaces authentically as like my full self. So I write for 7-year-old Alyssa, and I write for my, for grown Alyssa, because now I can be my full self. So do I hope that everyone reads my book? Yes, claro, who doesn't? But on those days when you're going to be challenged, just like remember why you do it. Remember that you do it for the love of the craft.
Amazing advice. I'm not even going to give any advice, because you guys are all have already said everything that's good to say. So I'm going to leave it at that. And if you'd like to learn more about Las Musas or our books, please visit our website at lasmusasbooks.com or find us on social media at Las Musas Books. And be sure to check out our bookshop page, where each purchase of one of our books goes towards supporting independent bookstores. And if you enjoyed this episode, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. You can also sign up for the Las Musas newsletter to have podcast updates, as well as other Musas news, such as release dates, teasers, spotlights, and more, delivered straight to your inbox. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me today, and see you soon. Bye.